Want to start making the most of your PTO? Looking to get out somewhere but aren't ready to commit to a 10-day vacation? We've got you covered. Today we share one of our favorite weekend trip destinations, what went well, what didn't, and how you can make the most of your next weekend adventure.
Welcome to the Travel More Podcast.
Each episode, we share custom itineraries, travel hacks, expert advice, and even stories of our past travel failures to help you level up your travel game.
I'm Shelly, a lover of plans, itineraries, and cheap flights. I'm an expert deal finder with one eye always on the budget.
And I'm Bruce, the improviser, ready to pick up where plans fail to turn letdowns into unexpected trip favorites. We're here to bust through barriers that stop you from making your travel dreams a reality.
So book that flight, buy the tickets, and say hello to your next adventure.
This is the Travel More Podcast. Welcome back to the Travel More Podcast.
Welcome.
So we're kind of coming off a pretty busy weekend.
Pretty busy.
Yeah, pretty busy. I mean, like, really busy.
Yeah, really busy time right now. But it was really fun. I feel like pretty good about the fact that we are able to kind of like continue this friend group trip, because I know, like, or you will know if you're in your 30s or older, that it's really hard to keep friends, especially like we don't live in the same states. Like, I mean, thankfully we all live in New England, so it's a little easier, but like one's in New York City, one's in New Hampshire, one's in Vermont, we're in Connecticut, so like we're kind of all over the place.
Like, relatively, that's not terrible.
No, it's not.
You know, there's people living across the country and all over the place. But still, it's
hard. My best friend lives in Memphis.
Yes,
so, like,
exactly.
You know, that's harder to get in.
That's like maybe once a year kind of trip.
Right.
But no, I mean, yeah, it is hard to collaborate and find everybody. You know, everybody have the time to like put towards it. And I don't know. I'm really grateful that we've been able to get together with friends and even family on these kind of trips.
Yeah. Oh, me too. It's funny. So we went skiing and all of us got a free day because that's just the nature of the ticket that we got. And so we're like, oh, we should come back. And it's just a weekend. No one has to take off work or anything. And we're like, well, we could do this. And like, oh, actually, I have to be out. And like, oh, okay, we'll do the next week. And you're like, oh, but then he has to be out for that. And we're like, and then I'm not available for the next two. And it was like, oh, maybe we should just all come back when we can. Just do it one by one. So, anyway,
it was great. Skiing was nice conditions. It's a pretty good winter.
Nice is relative.
Well, it's okay for a New Englander. A New England ski weekend in March, it was pretty solid.
Yeah, it was nice outside.
It wasn't raining,
but the snow, what we call a mashed potatoes, it was like skiing in mashed potatoes.
Yeah, it definitely got so kind of thick. So yeah, for all you skiers out there, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, but my legs are killing me. I have to like use the stairs, the railing. Thank you, my goodness, on the railings to get down. Like, I feel like I'm 100 years old going down the stairs. So,
but you know, it's kind of a nice lead in for today, because we're breaking down not necessarily like a series, but I guess a couple episodes that are going to be in this vein, this idea of like the weekend warrior, like weekend trips.
Well, you know, before we get too far, I do want to just have a quick shout out to Allison and Terry, who bought us coffees. It's so nice. Since our last episode, so thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. Man, you love to see it. It's been so nice when you get the email. It's just like, bought a coffee.
Yeah, or any emails. We just, you know, it's, I think we've said this before, but it can feel like we're just talking to each other,
right?
And into a void. And it's so nice when someone talks back.
Yeah, we love to hear from you guys. So thanks when you buy a coffee or just send us
an email. Or
post on the Facebook group.
Yeah,
let's
so
keep
nice.
It going.
Anyways, back to the Weekend Warrior. So, you know, if you're like us and you are hoping just to travel more like within your regular 9-to-5, obviously the weekends are the easiest way because you don't have to take off work. And of course, when we say weekend, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be Friday through Sunday. It could be whatever your weekend is, and we'll work the same way.
Yeah, and we're thinking like a 2-to-3-day stint.
Yeah.
Nothing that takes a huge, you know, a whole week off or 10 days.
Right, exactly. And so I think that it's really important to focus in on weekend trips. Like, if you're a person who's like, okay, I'm going to commit to getting out there, traveling more, making the most of my time, all of these ideas, I think that weekends are where you should start. One, because of how easy they are. You don't take off time. But also because it's only a couple days to plan. And I think that once you're successful planning a couple of weekend trips, you feel a lot more confident in your abilities to make things happen.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not nearly as overwhelming as planning a long week trip or something right. like that.
Exactly.
Or even a trip, you know, usually when you set aside that much time, you want to go somewhere that is more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And weekend trips are better for, you know, maybe regional locations or something that I would say is maybe a little easier to get out and do.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's only a weekend. So like if you don't see literally every site, you're like, well, of course not. It's just a weekend.
Yes, yeah, so it helps with decision fatigue.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Gives you a little more grace with yourself where you're yep. like, yeah, of course I can't do everything. So anyways, we love weekend trips. And today we've got to start with one that I think might be a little crazy of a suggestion for some, but I have some reasons why. So we're going to start with Vegas.
Yeah, dude, I had so many ideas about Vegas. I feel like Vegas is such a place, an icon.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people out there who have gone, like, everyone has their own Vegas story.
Yeah.
That's the whole, it's like the trope, right?
Right.
But man, to experience it, I think the one thing Shelly and I kept looking at each other is like, 3 nights is enough.
yeah, for us, at a time.
Now, don't get me wrong. You know, there's all kinds of people out there. There's a lot you can do in Vegas, but it's mm-hmm. definitely a place that you kind of go hard. You're up late. Like, the city is built, obviously, for entertainment,
yeah.
for a party. And I think being in it, being in, like, the hotels and the strip, it's perfect for a weekend.
yes. And here's other reasons why we think it's perfect. So first, many flights are in and out of the Las Vegas airport. It's a very busy airport. And so the chances of finding a pretty decently priced flight or even getting like a really crazy price flight, like good crazy, is high.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of deals.
Yeah. And we're coming from Connecticut. So
right.
like Vegas
we're really
is
far.
Far. But and we flew from our airport, right?
Did yep.
we fly? Yeah. We flew from Hartford. Now that I'm thinking mm-hmm. about it, which is more to the point that it's just a destination
right.
for the country that pretty much everywhere you're going to find decent options to
yeah.
go.
Exactly. And then in that same vein, there are so many hotels, and a lot of those can be used with those major credit card points, either because they are Hyatts or Marriotts, or because they have status match,
uh-huh.
which if you're not sure what that is, you should definitely Google it. But essentially, it's like you have status with one place, and it will match it over to different brands. And Vegas is like notorious for that because they want you to come spend money at the casino.
Yes, there's deals on deals on deals to just go and get there because right. they want you there and so you can spend your money.
Exactly. So you can really save a lot of money kind of with the flight hotel package if you do it right. And that can give you some money to spend elsewhere, which is good because Vegas is not a cheap destination.
No.
And then we were just talking about this, but it's kind of a place where you typically, like, you can get a taste of it and kind of get your fill. You don't need to spend 10 days to get the idea.
Yeah, I kind of jumped the gun on that one just because, you know, that was my big takeaway when we were there. But truly, I think that's the idea is, you know, there's a lot of fun things you can do there.
Yeah.
Beyond just, like, casinos.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, a place that you want to carve out a week necessarily. Like, you don't need to spend 10 days.
Yeah. I mean, you can. But yeah. it's just you don't have to.
You won't be upset, I think, if you take a weekend for it.
It's a very easy place to get the taste. You get the idea pretty quickly. So we're no strangers to crazy travel. We have all kinds of crazy travel stories where, like, we spend, like, 24 hours in Munich or something to go to a New Year's party. So, like, we knew crazy travel. But honestly, I think both of us thought this Las Vegas trip that we went to was going to take the cake for, like, the craziest.
I think so. And you know what I don't think I, like, accounted for completely? Was
time change?
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes,
because,
like,
I agree.
We've driven through the night in, like, snowstorms to go places. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, and, like, quick layovers to Munich coming from another country all mm-hmm. seem kind of, like, wild. But when you really think about it, they were not, like, they were doable.
Right, but, they're not like a 5-hour time change for
yes,
a weekend.
Like in the same country. Like, yeah. And now this won't be everyone's situation.
Right,
but
right, of course.
I know for us, just sharing our personal experience with this, it was wild because we left after work on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we try to do this because we always want to maximize the time off we get.
Yeah, but and that's a good tip. Is like, you may want to wait. You might think, oh, I'll just wait and go to the next day. But actually, if you can muster it,
yes.
I would do it that night. That way you wake up in the place.
Well, that's a nice thing. Like, quickly going back to our just last weekend,
mm-hmm.
it can be tough, like driving down or flying right after work on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get there and you can wake up on Saturday and you have the full day and you don't have to drive anywhere, it really, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway.
Mm-hmm. So we left on Friday after work, which is, ours is early. So it's like 3 o'clock is when our work is over. So we probably left like six-ish.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. But still, the flight was like a good 5 hours.
Yeah, it was long.
From Connecticut. And that was nonstop.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the hard thing about it, again, is the time change. So we got there like, it was getting towards 3 a.m.
When we got to the airport, not the airport, when we got to the hotel, it was like 3 minutes to 3 a.m.
Yes, and this is a very important fact.
Yes.
Because something we didn't realize, you know, Vegas never sleeps. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always up and going. Like, there's always something open. But what we didn't realize is that we were about to check into our hotel, and we get there, and we were fishing for, like, whatever confirmation we had, and the person was like, can you, like, get that as quickly as possible, because our computer system is about to, like, roll over to the next day.
At 3.
And then we won't be able to check you in for, like, I don't know how
15
long.
15 minutes or something. Yeah. It was, but, you know, 15
minutes felt like an hour.
Right, I was going to say, at 3 a.m. when you've just come from work, and you know you have to be up at, like, 8 a.m. the next day, you're like, no, I'm not waiting, like, 15 to 30 minutes. Yeah, so we got in, but that is a good thing to know. You can come in at any time for, you know, Vegas hotels. You don't have to be there like before midnight or anything. But if you come after 3 a.m., it will have reset to the next day. And they can fix it. Like, they were like, it's not a huge deal. Like, it's not like you'll lose your reservation.
Right.
It's just we have to wait and do all these other processes. So
try to get to Vegas before 3 a.m. to get to your hotel.
Yeah.
That's,
And so we immediately went to bed, obviously. We were so tired. And we were there for a conference, and so we had to get up at like 8 a.m. and go to the conference.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. If I were vacationing, I would have, like, I never sleep in, like, literally ever. My weekends, I still wake up at 7, but I would sleep in, I'd probably till about 10 if I was vacationing.
Well, also because Vegas, I mean, yeah, there's literally... the wildest thing about the casinos there is that it could be any time, at any time.
There's always people.
There's always something
and things
occurring.
Happening.
But, like, really, you know, and that's why it doesn't matter if you're sleeping until 10. But,
right.
Like, other things aren't really happening in the morning, necessarily.
No, it's
like,
pretty dead in the morning.
Especially if you think about shows. Shows happen during normal show times.
Right.
Like, evening and late. And there probably are some that happen other times. You'd have
to
look. But generally, it's like...
It's pretty sleepy.
Yeah. I would say the morning is just the morning.
You don't necessarily need... It's not like you're going to lose out
on anything. No, you're not missing out on not being awake.
Yeah. So, we... You know, obviously, we're at the conference for a little bit of it, but we kind of got the gist of it at some point and then decided to go out on our own and explored the resorts. And I think that those were the craziest part of Vegas to me.
Yes, just the amount of resorts and... The magnitude of
amount
of
theming
yes.
was like obscene. Like it, I mean, not in a bad way. It just was like everything was so intensely themed. It almost felt, we kept saying this, but it almost felt like an adult Disney World.
Yeah.
Where it was like, okay, now I'm in, well, we stayed at the Paris Hotel. So like that kind of felt like Paris.
Yeah, it's like in a
but I
interesting
get, I get what they're going
way.
For. Yeah. But, you know, there's like sky painted on the ceiling and things like that. And then we went to the Bellagio.
Yep.
And they had like a flower thing going on, I think. It was like these big flower displays.
It was very fancy.
Very fancy. Like an English garden, but like a dream of an English garden. Not
right,
like a real English garden.
Yes, it was like a fantasy.
Right. And then, of course, the Venetian has like a gondola going through it where you can ride it with like the singing guy in the gondola.
Yes.
Which is just wild. Like it just is such a... interesting concept because I've never, I mean, not even Disney hotels are that themed.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know that there's anywhere I can compare it to. Because, like, even casinos, like in Connecticut, there's Mohegan Sun, which is really beautiful inside. It has a similar idea. Like, it's just this endless inside themed mall trap that just gets you, like, to more food and gambling and clubs.
Yeah.
It's a time. It's an experience.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Well, I was just going to... No, you finish what you were
going to say. Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, I don't... I think you got to go. I think you got to experience Vegas, man.
It's
awesome.
I mean, I agree. I think about that with a lot of things. These, like, things that people are like, I don't know if I'd be into it. And it's like, that's fine. You don't have to be into it. Like, it doesn't have to be your favorite vacation you've ever taken, but I definitely recommend you do it once.
Oh, 100%.
Like, New York City is one of those. Vegas is one. Disney World is one, I think. Like, these places where it's like... There's just so much, like, they're iconic. There's so much pop culture around them. Like, it feels like you gotta know what it is.
What I wish I had time for if I were to go back to Vegas. Mm-hmm. So one thing to know about Vegas is, like, the new strip where, like, the Paris Hotel is and most things are is not, like, OG Vegas.
Right.
Like,
you'd go to the original strip.
Yeah, which I know has its own... I mean, I think there's aspects of it that are run down. But
yeah, well,
it's kind of like the old, like, Frank Sinatra gangster Vegas area. So, anyway, there's still more that we didn't get a chance to see and do.
Oh, I mean, a ton more. So, one thing is, like, we were talking about this Disney World idea where it's, like, so themed and specific. And I think that Vegas is actually, like, a really great place to dive into some of these, like, kind of odd side passions. Like, where in the world can you do things like drive a race car and go on a helicopter tour, underground kayaking, like driving a monster truck?
Yeah.
Like, they're just, like, these very random type, like, big experiences.
Adventure type things or, like, experience, yeah. Like... Yeah, well, you know, it's there's this, like, almost gaudiness to it.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid the word, but it was going to come out.
But it's in a way that it's like, I want it there. I want right. There had to be a place. You might as well put it in the desert and everything collects there.
Like, yeah. So you have these, like, all these weird stuff.
Yeah, with big, weird, opulent things, you know? So, I don't know. It's a time.
Yeah, you know, my advice for Vegas is just to do some research and then, like, make a reservation for something that you had never considered before. Whether it's, like, a really bizarre museum or, like, one of them was, like, the monster truck place was also, like, you can crush a car with a
excavator. Yes, like, something like that. Something, like, you can't really do anywhere else.
Like, you might as well just go for it, I think.
Definitely.
And then, of course, we spent the night, even though we had our conferences during most of the day, we spent our nights eating and drinking. And Vegas has such a good food scene. We watch a lot of Bar Rescue, and John Taffer is from Vegas, and he often talks about that. And so I know that the Vegas, you know, food and drink scene is just top notch. Also, you have all those celebrity chefs. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
I would do a little research, though, too, because one thing I noticed, you know, even in the Paris Hotel, you know, there are things that can be really pricey and not the best that I've ever had. You know what I mean?
That's so like... saying it lightly.
Yeah, let's... Okay.
That's a nice way of saying
it. I think
it.
There's definitely... I think that if you... I would do research because you can kind of get trapped, I think, in bottleneck areas where you're ending up buying, like, a whatever breakfast sandwich, let's say, and coffee for, like, $25,
$30. Yeah. They're definitely... Just like any major city, or, like, really big city, really densely populated city. New York is one. Vegas is one. Los Angeles... Like, these really densely packed cities, you'd think, oh, I'll have no problem finding food. But actually, there's so much mediocre food, especially in the areas you're probably going to be in.
Yes.
That it's one of the places that I actually recommend doing the most research on, like, food in particular.
Yes.
You just don't, you know, you can have multiple options. So it's like, oh, if I'm in this area, then I found these couple things. And if I end up in this area, I have these couple things. So it's like, you don't have to plan every single meal, have reservations for all of them, whatever.
Just get a sense of what you're maybe, like, anchoring yourself to. Because I mean, like, it's got the Times Square vibe where you could get overpay at some, like, big gaudy restaurant. Like Bubba Gump or whatever, shrimp. And it's like totally fine. But there's other things right around the corner that you would have wished you'd known about. That kind of thing. You know? And like even we ended up finding this like super cheap breakfast at a bar that like I want to say it was like $2.50 for like a egg and toast. You know what I mean? It was like wildly maybe cheap.
Like an egg and a piece of toast. But I think we spent like $7 for our breakfast. But like compared to the rest of Vegas... Like, that was a serious deal. We weren't getting any breakfast for anything under, like, $30.
But that's the thing about it. It exists. Like, you've got these, like, crazy array. Because you could have high-class dining experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have that Times Square restaurant, kind of overpriced food.
Mm-hmm. And everything in between.
And everything in between. Exactly.
Yeah, I actually suggest probably, I know with New York, and I assume the same as with Vegas, is taking an Uber to your dinner reservations, probably not the worst thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably better to get out of that main strip area just because you're going to get stuck in, like, that Times Square vibe. Okay, so food and drink, definitely something I would put my time into researching. The rest of this, you could do a little go with the flow more, but the food and drink for sure. And of course, you cannot talk about Vegas without talking about
gambling.
Right. So of course it's a part of the Vegas experience. I'm not a fan.
I was gonna say, I know Shelly was like, why would you just let your money get like eaten by a slot machine?
Literally, a slot machine just straight up eat the money. Listen, and it was like, oh, you didn't win. No, that's no thrill. Yeah. No, I get playing games. Like, we played blackjack for a good amount of time, only $50. We played it with the machine because, like, to get on the table was like 25.
Well, so, that's true. I will say, you know, well, one of the tips that we were going to say 100% is, like, if you want to go, say you're going to spend X amount of money and that's it, you know, if you're going to gamble.
Right.
And
like, I'm sure other bring people the cash.
Would. Yeah, bring the cash. Don't. And, you know, once you, if you lose it, it's done. Mm-hmm, that's, mm-hmm. You know, just make sure you don't, you know, at that point, you're like, well, maybe I'll take some more money out. You know? Don't.
That's the worst.
But it is really fun if you go in and especially pay attention to casinos that have like different buy-in amounts and stakes, like the table. So it can be tough. Like some of the nicer hotels are going to have $20, $25. And to some people out there who hit casinos up, that's not that much money. But for me, it is. Yeah. You know, and I really just wanted to play. So Shelly and I did play like blackjack, I think, is one of the more fun games, and like poker. But blackjack can be really fun, and there's plenty of machines to do it on.
I say, we played on a machine, which for me felt like less intimidating because, like, I'd never been to a casino. So my first casino experience was Vegas. And so I was definitely intimidated. Like, much easier to play in the machine and just be like, oh, I get this now, and kind of, like, figure it out, as opposed to sitting at the table with everyone around you and not knowing what you're doing. A
lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is a lot of pressure. So, in any case, I think next time, though, I would put that in the budget a little more.
Yeah,
where a little, it's like, here's a couple $100s.
Yep.
And that way you can do a little more. Because I just was... I'm just like a big budgeter. So for me, so for me, I'm like, why would you just waste money? Like, it's like literally nothing.
See, this is what I had to explain. That this is, you're paying to play a game.
Yeah. It's like, I understood that, but then.
Well, you got to experience it.
Right.
And I do think, here's another tip for, you know, people who've, you know, gambled and played games like that, you know what's up. But if you're like us and you aren't as used to it, I think it's good to go at a time. If you want to go to the table, for instance, mm-hmm. like, or you want to play anything, roulette, craps, go at a time where there's not a lot of people. They're pretty much helpful. Like, they don't want to turn you away.
Right.
Like, most people will teach
like
you.
Like, at the 8 a.m.
Like, at 8 a.m. You be careful. At 8 a.m., people are still up from the night, maybe.
They 100%
are. We definitely saw a group playing craps that was definitely awake all night. I don't think they knew what time it was.
No.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, if you don't go at a busy time, you find an open table, generally they'll teach you how to play the game, especially if you go to, like, a lower stakes table. And it's a lot of fun.
You know, that's what I liked. This has nothing to do with Vegas, but we did that on a cruise ship. Was it...
Yes.
Virgin?
That, I believe it was Virgin and, oh no, Celebrity.
Was it Celebrity?
It was Celebrity, and it was right after COVID, so there was like 900 people on a ship meant for 3,000.
Yes, but also, it's like they told us the deal. It was like, you can't gamble if you're docked. So if you go to the casino while you're docked, they often will have like lessons.
Yes, they'll teach you.
Right, because you can't gamble, but they'll teach you how to play the games, which is kind of cool.
It was fun, and it was like way more relaxed, and that's when I remember we played roulette.
Mm-hmm. And here's my quick little aside, my little golden nugget of information that's kind of fun, is if you are like a Vegas person already and you have listened to us, like... he'll tell you what Vegas is like when you've been 20 times more. You should know that people often will status match Vegas hotel brands like MGM or whatever with different cruise lines and get free cruises.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like all the time.
Actually. That's awesome.
Yeah, because they want you to gamble on the cruise.
Right. Well, I mean, that is kind of like a big draw of cruise ships. Not as much anymore. It's still a thing, but I think there was a time when cruise ships were just like...
Just
floating casinos.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Well, our biggest mistake in Vegas, I think 100%, was that we did not do enough research on the food.
Yes.
We should have had a little better plan going in, which I know sounds crazy, but we went at a really crazy time. Like, we had things every single weekend, and we went to Vegas one weekend and London the next. So it was like,
yeah, it was
just a really busy time, and I just got kind of like, I put it on the back burner, and I was like, oh, well, I'll figure it out when we get there. And, you know, we just ended up overspending and kind of getting like meh food when I know there's so much better out there, which is frustrating, you know, when you go somewhere and you kind of feel like you didn't get it.
Yeah, you missed out on it. Yep.
Yeah, so I feel like that's why we like made such a point about the food, because it's like, you know what, like, I really should put more time into that. And yeah, we'll definitely go back to Vegas, because like, I want to bring some more money to the casino, and I really want to check the food scene out more.
And I want to see shows.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see Penn and Teller while they're still around. They've been doing it for a long time.
You know, the other piece of that is, like, you don't have to stay in Vegas. Like, if we wanted to do a 10-day trip, it'd be very easy to pair that with, like, the Grand Canyon or, like, other national parks.
Yes, and that's actually a very popular thing to do.
Yeah,
so you
it makes
kinda
sense.
Go to a couple different areas out there.
So you go to Vegas and you do your thing, and then you go to your retreat to recover from your Vegas.
That actually sounds great.
Then you drink all your green juice and everything.
But that would be more than a weekend.
So, yes, that would be. So, you know, I guess we'll save that for another time. So that's pretty much it for Vegas.
Yeah, I know it's not the cheapest, or maybe this, you know, I was going to say not the easiest, but honestly, like, I do think it's pretty accessible.
Yeah.
You know, like, to fly in there from a lot of places in the country. And I think it's fun. And it's, you know, if you've already kind of done some, like, regional stuff, mm-hmm. you just said, like, I am going to make a point of taking this weekend, using my time off, whatever it is, you know, mm-hmm. We talked about those barriers, like, early on when we started the show. And a lot of that is just kind of like getting used to the idea that you're going to commit to using your time off.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've started to do that a little bit with a couple weekend trips, you're planning out a 3-day weekend. This is just one of those I think that would be really fun, you know, because it's mm-hmm. a little bit, for a lot of people, I think it's kind of out of the way a little bit more. It's mm-hmm. not just like a road trip.
Right.
And it's fun. You fly in. And again, like Shelley was saying in the beginning, you could pair it with a lot of interesting activities. You could mm-hmm. go to see a show. You can go for sporting events. You can go for so many different things.
Celebrity chef restaurants.
Go and
eat the Gordon Ramsay restaurant.
There you go. And I mean, the flights are probably not going to be that tough to get. And there's so many hotel options. Just find one you like.
I think that's a big point. So, like, before we sign off, I just want to kind of make that a little more clear, which is, one of the best parts about points and miles is getting these things that, like, are required expenses, like transportation and hotels, getting those as cheap as possible or as low cost as possible, so that you have money to do these other things with. So it's like, yes, Vegas is not cheap, but if you had an essentially free flight and hotel stay because you use points and miles or some crazy discounts to get it, it doesn't feel so bad when you spend
when you
a couple hundred
$1,000 on the blackjack table.
I mean, that's like a lot. But in general, you notice you said $1,000, I said a couple hundred. But when you spend a couple hundred on experiences, food, those types of things. So,
yeah, so
it can kind of balance itself out.
Anyway, tell us your craziest Vegas stories.
Yeah,
join
for
the
real.
Facebook group. We want to hear them.
Let us know. All right, well, until next time.
See ya.
Bye. Did you know that every time you book a Disney or Universal vacation, you're paying for a service that you may not even be using?
Really?
That's right. Travel agent costs are added to your Disney or Universal vacation, whether you use one or not.
So you're telling me that I'm paying for something even though I'm not getting the help?
You got it. So next time you want to book a theme park vacation, make your money work for you. By booking with Magic Pass Travel, you'll get our expertise and years of experience without paying any extra and while supporting a small business.
Check out our show notes to find our contact information.
Can't wait to help you plan your next adventure.